All right, special episode. We're going to be talking about the Academy Award nominations pretty soon.
Yeah, with Doug Benson.
Yeah, and but first, we want to thank our Patreon sponsors and go through our lovely ad tier that we do.
If you're new to the listening, guys, if you go to patreon.com/comedyfilmnerds, you can support the show for as little as $2 a month. But for $50 a month, we will read your business or project that you're working on, and you will get a plug like these fine Patreon sponsors.
You mean like Johnny Roulon?
Johnny, I love Johnny.
Yeah, he's got his novel Green Cheek, A Junkie's Guide to Street Magic. It's on Amazon, both digital and hard copy. It's an experimental stream of consciousness novel which follows the exploits of the muse Calliope, an immortal lover, T.S. on a journey through time, dreams, and the hidden places of a supernatural America. The website is happyhorrorshowproductions.com, happyhorrorshowproductions.com. And the Audacity Performing Arts Project produces after-school performing arts projects in poor, underfunded, and low-performing schools. Performing arts education is not a luxury. Please visit them at audacityperformingarts.com, audacityperformingarts.com.
Support the arts.
And Coffee Over Suicide from Chris Parker Howard. It's a dramedy podcast about mental illness and choosing life over death, one cup of coffee at a time. Get caught up in season one, and then season two is premiering this month wherever podcasts are found. Find out more at coffeeoversuicide.com.
You can still enjoy that show if you drink tea.
Yes. And have you done it yet?
Drank tea? Yeah.
Yes, drink tea. Because Chris invited us on the podcast. I have not done it yet.
I'd love to be on it.
Yeah, we'll set that up. And Alice Frazier, co-host of the Bugle podcast and host of Tea with Alice, brings you a series of three genre-bending solo stand-up shows that explore the boundary between comedy and tragedy. The recorded back-to-back is a three-hour show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival with a binaural microphone, which creates an intensely immersive listening experience. Go to alicefrazier.com. AliceFrazier.com.
Hello, Alice.
And Rebecca Evans, The Art Podcast. When we move past hesitation, we're true to ourselves. We find our own art in life. You want to hear some fun stories and get inspired? Check out The Art, Facebook.com/TheArtPodcasts. Now, this one we both have done.
It's a great one. Two separate episodes. It's a really cool conversation, so check it out.
And La Calavera by Alan Ross, the story of a pirate radio operator, decides to go into the pirate cable TV business. Darren Loney, together with a group of misfits and the questionable guidance of a spiritual advisor, in the form of Richard Nixon, gear up to take on the world's largest media conglomerate and its egomaniacal celebrity CEO. It's on Amazon, an ebook and hard copy. Now, you've been reading
this a couple chapters in, and I'm really beginning to like it. The Richard Nixon who just pops in and says asshole Nixon things is fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
I really love it. You just be like, oh, that'll never work, you son of a bitch. You know, like he's a
That's
dick.
Great. So, all right, that is our Patreon tier. Check it out. And it's $50 a month, and we appreciate all you Patreon members.
And
Thank you.
Support the show for as little as $2 a month, $5, $10. You get bonus content, and it's really cool.
And we got some fun things coming up. We're about to have a meeting to discuss it.
Yep.
Yeah, so it'll be really some cool things coming to Patreon.
Stay tuned for the Oscar preview episode that we do every year with Doug Benson. We will give you our who we think should win and who will win. Get your Oscar pools locked in.
Enjoy it. Here it comes.
Right now.
Suck it.
Eat it. It's that time of year, ladies and gentlemen.
Christmas?
Oh, it's Film Nerd Christmas.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's Film Nerd Christmas. It's the Oscar, will.
I look forward to this every year.
I do too. Mm-hmm. It's exciting, and it's episode 455, so we're halfway to 910.
Yep, I get excited regardless of the quality of the movies nominated.
Politics is happening with regards to the host, we're still get excited.
Yeah, and every time the Academy makes a dumb decision, I like how the fact that they're shamed into reversing it in 4 to 6 weeks, which is perfect.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I look forward to that as much as I do.
Yes.
The award show, whatever thing they get.
So, now what's the next thing they're doing? They're not televising the entire thing. Is that what's going on next? Is that the next thing that they've released?
They're going to make it I think a radio play is what they're going to do, or maybe just...
Terrence Malick is going to make a film about the Academy Awards, and they're going to show that instead?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Well, let's welcome our guest. He comes every year to join us for this. From the Doug Loves Movies podcast, ladies and gentlemen, Doug Benson.
Hey.
That's a peculiar intro.
Oh, boy. What a year.
Yes.
Let's celebrate cinema, gentlemen.
Let's do it. We really should.
Oh, wow. Movies make us laugh. They make us cry.
They do everything to us.
Yes.
They really do.
They're all purpose.
How's everything in the
all
in,
the time
in the Doug Loves Movies world? How's everything?
Oh, you know, been doing shows all over the place. Just did one at our. We've been there together before. The old Good Nights in Raleigh.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So wasn't that? Didn't it become something else? Or
it's still Good Nights, but the Helium guy bought it.
Okay.
And kept it Good Nights because you know. Just switched to Helium, people in the area and people in the research triangle might be confused. So just keep it Good Nights, which I, you know, as comedy club names go, it's one of the better ones.
And it's been around for whatever,
decades.
Forever,
years,
yeah.
So.
It's been around for so long. They took off the Charlie. It used to be Charlie Good Nights.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then when Charlie died, everyone was just like, let's just call it Good Nights.
So hashtag keep it Good Nights, everybody.
Yes. Episode 455, hashtag keep it Good Nights.
Done.
I'm taking notes.
Well, guys, this is where we're going to go through all the categories, and we're going to, if you've listened every year, you're used to this. If you're just joining us, we're going to go through all the categories, and then all three of us are going to tell you which movies we think should win, which we kind of want, whatever, forever reasons.
Personal favorite.
Mm-hmm. And then what we think actually will win to help you with your Oscar pool. So,
and by help, we basically mean your guess is probably as good as ours.
Yeah. Just, translation, good luck.
Good luck.
I mean, last year, I think I was like killing it, like the first seven or eight categories I got right. And then when it starts to go bad.
Oh, man. I know. Well, that's happened to, I think, all three of us.
Yeah, at some one point or another.
Someone's a front runner.
Mm-hmm.
And then some guy picks up a couple of weird sound design ones or something. Mm-hmm. Somebody just gets lucky on some... you know, best makeup or something. And there we go.
Yeah. And the shorts are always so hard to predict.
Oh, that's a tough one.
It's so hard. And I've seen them all this year and I still couldn't tell you.
Well, that's the thing. I've seen them all. I mean, I try to see them every year. And even like you have no idea what's, there's certain gimmies like Pixar and we'll get into it. But
right.
All right. So let's start.
Okay.
Let's start from the bottom up. Let's go.
Speaking of Pixar.
Yeah. Animated short film.
Yes. Bao is the Pixar one. And then there's these other ones. Now, did you guys see the shorts?
Doug did.
I did. I saw all the animated shorts. Animal Behaviors, a cute little short about a bunch of animals sitting around like in group therapy. And, of course, their animal traits when applied to like a human discussion about therapies. You know, it's fun and cute. Mm-hmm. And then the other four.
Would you say less depressing than the live action shorts?
Yes. I was also going to say, and the only one that's not depressing of all the animated shorts. Bao is, you know, it's Pixar.
Right.
So it's hard to.
It's always going
to
be in there.
Yeah. It's always going to be in the mix. But the question is, you know, they're all like kind of sweet and, you know. I didn't love the style of the animation on any of them except for the Pixar one, of course. But even the Pixar one takes a weird turn. So you guys didn't see that one?
I saw it, yeah.
Yeah, isn't it weird?
It is weird. Like, I'm like, really?
Is that really what's happening?
Yeah.
And then shortly after that, it's over. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's overall pretty pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, what do you think?
I feel like it's like where the Pixar shorts, like they have to kind of follow the formula for the feature films where it can be cute, but there has to be one poignant moment that's supposed to get you to feel something. And even though it's a short film, it still has to be in there.
Yeah, some and, people and
even
really...
If it's, even if it's forced in there, it has to be in there.
Yeah, some people really felt emotional about those that Lonely Volcano. Yeah. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Lava, I think that was called.
Yep.
and that's sort of how Bao is. It's like you're supposed to have feelings about a
bun.
Basically, a food bun.
food bun.
So I'm gonna for me it's will win Bao, and I you know, I'll give it a should win as well. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the same just because I didn't see the other ones.
I'm gonna go a should for animal
behavior,
but will is Bao. You just if you bet, it's a bad play to bet against Pixar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder. I haven't seen the numbers, but I wonder how often they lose because they've always got one in there. Because mm-hmm. They always make one for every
right.
You know, big feature, and Bao was played mm-hmm. before Incredibles 2.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which.
Okay, best animated feature.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird. There's another Pixar and, of course, a Disney movie in there as well. So that increases their chances dramatically. Now, I think this is actually a really strong category, the
There's
animated features.
There's a lot of great
features. Movies in here. Yeah. Isle of Dogs, I thought, was fantastic. Mm-hmm. It was really good. And also to the point of not only was a really great, fun story with good characters, but, you know, the stop-motion animation looked beautiful, too. So from a technical standpoint, it looks great. But also Spider-Man, from a technical standpoint, looks really good, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, like, Incredibles 2 is good. Ralph Breaks the Internet, they're good. But I think Isle of Dogs and Spider-Man are just simply better, I think, out of those two.
So what are
I
you would, calling that, Chris?
Oh, man. I think Isle of Dogs should win because it was just really great. And Spider-Man, I think, will win. But I can't say that one's better than the other. I like both.
It just depends on how much you like cultural appropriation.
Yeah. That's true. Spider-Man and a lot of that.
I mean, Spider-Man is, to me, the will win because it's just been picking up every yeah. award. It's just got great steam. You know, like nobody feels bad for Incredibles 2 being one of the top 10 movies of all time.
Right.
You know, it doesn't also right. need an Oscar that bad. I imagine the first Incredibles probably won.
I'm sure Ralph Breaks the Internet did okay too.
Yeah, it did some business. Mirai is anime. And in the great tradition of me trying to watch all of the...
it's the one that can't be found.
No, I did find it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. It was playing out in Glendale. I had to schlep out there to see it. Mm-hmm. Oh, but we're close to Glendale now here in Burbank. But the point is that every year I have to sit through one of these animes. Because they're all sweet ones. You know, it's not Akira with people getting shot
right,
the fuck up
right.
and stuff. It's just, you know, a child with a dream and a cloud goes by and it turns into a duck.
Yeah.
You know, it's just...
That's on the movie poster.
Yeah.
I'm not
yeah.
mistaken.
I think so. You know, it's kind of a
good.
Sweet movie.
Yeah.
It's about this little, like, four-year-old that's always throwing tantrums and then almost like, you know, like a Christmas Carol... He goes on these little trips into the future, like his younger sister, he meets her as a young woman and she like sets him straight about a bunch of shit because he hates his little sister when the baby's born and he tries to hit it a lot, but with, you know, in a gentle way. But anyway, I'm just talking about it because I have no one to talk to about it. I sat through it.
Brief.
I watched the whole goddamn thing, and I wasn't happier when it was over. But like you guys were saying, it was an exceptional year for animation. I mean, the visuals of all these movies are quite good, and they did some great things. But for me, it's. Will and should both for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
All right.
Doug goes should will.
I mean, it's one of the better superhero movies.
It is.
Of late, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll say this. The one problem I have with it, I talked about on the show, I went to the 2D version and I was getting a headache and I was sitting
It's weird.
It really...
You really are like, do I did I not get the glasses? Yeah. Are they showing
that's
the wrong print?
Yeah. I asked the manager.
Why are the edges out of focus and the center not?
Yeah. And then, yeah, it was an interesting choice, but once you give into it, then it's, you know, it's fine. But yeah, it is confusing.
I got a headache. I wanted to get into it, and I respect the filmmaker for making a cool choice like that visually, but it just was mess. I can't do it. I'm going to...
Not giving it up.
I'm going to go Isle of Dogs with a should will.
That's well, I mean, everybody knows that about you, that you love dogs.
Huge dog guy.
Yeah.
All right. Foreign
and Japanese culture, really. That was two things together.
Yes, my two favorite things. Foreign language film.
This is a two-way race. This is Cold War in Roma with signs point to Roma.
Here's my question. Because Roma, to me, should be Best Picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do they intentionally give it to Cold War because Cold War is getting a lot of buzz and it's a pretty amazing film?
And save Roma for Best Picture.
Save Roma for Best Picture.
That's a good question.
They could, people could divide up their vote that way, but, you know, how much are people going to make those kind of decisions? Because if you love Roma...
You love Roma.
You love it. I mean, it's, to me, I haven't seen Never Look Away, but I've seen all the others, and it's just... you know, and Cold War, you know, people love to, you know, talk about the cinematography and it got nominated for cinematography, but like Roma looks amazing as well. I mean, you know, something about the black and white photography. I it's strange more filmmakers don't take advantage of it because everything.
I bet you they're going to
looks
now.
So good. Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah, it's going to be a new thing. But I didn't see Never Look Away, which is like a 3-hour movie about art, an artist. But Capernaum is very, very engaging because it stars like a 10-year-old boy and a toddler, and they're both excellent in it.
Oh, wow.
And also when it's all said and done, you go, wow, they put those kids through some shit. You know, like,
really?
Like, is that going to affect these kids, you know, because of the things they have to do in the movie. But yeah, to answer your question, I feel like, you know, Roma's going to take this one and Best Picture.
And Best Director, even.
Well, that's what's going to happen. Is this going to... I take that back, because there's still you know, Green Book. I don't want to jump all the way to Best Picture, but I still think for foreign language film, like, it was the best one. How can you say that the best film...
Is it not also the best movie?
Like, it's the only four, you know, it's the only one of the foreign language films that's nominated for Best Picture.
Right.
So how can any of those other four?
Which is rare. It doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so I'm going Will Should Roma.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
Oh, and Shoplifters was really good too, I should say.
I'm going to go Roma, Will Should too.
I'm doing the same thing because those are all compelling arguments, and it's true. Cold War does a lot of great things, but Roma is, I haven't been able to shut up about it since I saw it and how amazing it is. So
yeah, I saw one of my nerd followers, it's, you know, I do this hashtag DLM Oscar challenge and I tell everybody to do what I'm doing and try to watch every single movie. And so they write little reviews. And somebody said about Roma, enough with the panning back and forth. And I was like, well, now that you pointed out, there is a lot of it, but boy, is it effective.
Yeah, it's not willy-nilly. It's just like everything he does.
It's during very intense sequences, and they're showing you everything.
Everything.
So they're panning back and forth.
It's justified.
It's really good filmmaking.
Also, like in the case of the scene in the ocean, it adds to your queasiness.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
You know, it makes it uncomfortable, uncomfortable.
I can't imagine that scene being shot any other way.
You're in the fear that she's in.
Yeah.
Because she can't swim, can't see the kids.
But for a second, when you're watching that, didn't it go, as filmmakers in the back of your head go, all right, well, is that a crane? Is that some kind of water dolly? How are they shooting?
How are they doing this?
Yeah. Are they on a platform? like how are they
doing
that?
Did he learn nothing from Jaws?
Yeah,
film on the water.
All right. So Roma, best foreign language.
Mini helicopter.
How is it? Mini helicopter.
Oh, drones.
Yeah, drone. Could have been a drone. Yeah.
All right. live action short.
We'll turn this over to Doug.
Did you guys see any of these?
No.
I think, I don't want to, I'm not positive, but one or two of them might be like on Netflix or something, but I saw them in one of those shorts TV presentations where they just show you them all in a row, and it's a very unpleasant experience watching these back to back, because more so than, you know, usually there's some comedy ones, you know, there's something light,
fun and cute,
but these are all like the lightest one is like a, you know, old lesbian who's going senile is like, that's the fun one.
Wow.
Oh my God. And that's called Marguerite. So if you guys want to lean towards like, well, would the least depressing one possibly win in this category, then that's the one to vote.
What are the subject matter of each one?
Detainment is this awful story. It's based on a real thing that happened. They used transcripts for the script, and it's about children who commit a murder. Like a 4-year-old, I think, kills somebody.
Oh my God.
And and then Skin is about this racist family who there's kind of a Twilight Zone esque twist of what happens to the patriarch of this family, something that you would never want to happen to you if you hated black people. That's essentially becoming one. And then Fauve.
Would you say it's similar to Rosie Grier in The Incredible Two-Headed Experiment?
I was thinking of that, and also remember The Watermelon Man? Godfrey Cambridge, the black comedian, played a white man. So he's got a couple of scenes where his skin is fake white, and then he wakes up black, and then the rest of the movie is... it's a fun movie to watch because you know the guy playing the part is black, but it's fun watching him be so upset about being black and about, you know, how he wishes he was white again. But Fauve is about a child getting stuck in quicksand and his friend not being able to help him.
That sounds fun.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, these things are brutal. And Mother, oh my God, Mother is a single take of a woman on the phone talking to her son who is lost and she can't figure out where he is and can't tell the cops where he is because, you know, he's a little boy. He doesn't know where he is. He's like, it's a beach. That's all he can tell her. And she's on the phone trying to figure out how to find her kid.
And she's flipping out, of course.
Yeah. And the best part? No resolution.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah. I don't mind spoiling that for people because it's sad. It's like when it's over, you're like, what?
All right.
Why did I go through that to not find out? I'd be happier if I found out the kid was dead.
I'm going
to say. Than to not know what happened to him.
Wow.
Here's what I'm going with. Skin, I'm gonna go. Detainment.
You're gonna go.
I gotta go. Thanks, guys. Detainment is my should. Skin is my will.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah, I mean, because if they, especially in this time right now, if they really want to, reward something that's anti-racism.
And the Academy having to battle the last couple of years of going, hey, we're not just a whites only country club. We're liberals. So I think that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Wow. It's, you know, it's really a pool of sorrow to pick from here. I'm going to go with Mother, should will, after hearing that, because I think that's the climate now of parenting is, kids have phones, but they have no. They're literally free range. And we don't know a lot of times where they are, what they're doing. And I think that's kind of, this movie's supposed to be kind of almost a metaphor for that.
Ooh.
So I think that's a should will.
Yeah. And it's all, you know, it's impressive that it's all in one take, you know, that they had to rehearse it a million times and then do it. And you hear the people she talks to her kid on the phone and then other people. So it's like, just putting it all together. It's impressive, but boy, this was the most upsetting set of short films.
All right,
let's get to something happier, like sound editing.
Oh wait, I should say okay. Will should for Marguerite is what I'm going.
Oh, with. Doug is a should will Marguerite, and Chris, tell me again, you're going what?
Mother should will.
Oh, all right, okay.
Sound editing.
So, all right, so sound editing. It's an interesting mix, superhero, music, horror, with very little sound, and you know, First Man, I don't know how that snuck in there, but and of course Roma, which, you know, the sound was really interesting in
that I would movie. Say me I'll tell mm-hmm. you right now out of the gate, Roma mm-hmm. should mm-hmm. its sound editing was brilliant. It helped tell the story. I saw it in the theater. Stuff was happening on the speakers over my left shoulder, and it was painting this picture that was amazing.
Yeah.
However, the Academy, the loudest, biggest, craziest movie ever wins. So it's my guess is it's going to be Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, we should say, like, that's the thing you have to ask yourself with sound mixing and sound editing is, do you want to pick up, you know, do you want to split your vote mm-hmm. and maybe just pick up one? Or maybe get both, because it does happen, but it tends to be the same thing wins both sound mixing and sound editing.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, just look at it. It's almost the same five nominees. Like, strangely, Star is Born is in the mix and yeah. Quiet Place is in the editing. Mm-hmm. I guess because there was less to mix when everyone's being quiet. But there's plenty to edit because the movie had, you know, music and stuff. So First Man was, you know, when it first showed up in film festivals last fall, it being from the guy who did La La Land and Whiplash. Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of anticipation for this
not
movie.
Just anticipation. Some people insisted on loving it. I meet people all the time that think it's one of the best movies they ever saw.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I could not.
I think they're wrong.
Get into it.
Yeah.
I am so tired. It is such a trope of, like, why do we need scenes of the wife saying you're not a good father when the guy is, we know he's going to be the first man on the moon. Maybe there's some things that are more important than being a good father.
Yeah. And did that actually, first of all, did that actually happen? Or are they did, like,
I mean, he's emotionally closed off the entire movie. Like, you see, like, okay, well, I get that, you know, you're traumatized, you're emotionally closed off, but after 2 hours plus of him just barely saying anything, and then when he says something he mumbles expressionlessly, I think I'm bored.
And it's also
point.
Like, yeah. It's like,
it
it's
was
like,
weird how not compelling it was.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. that's such a, like, stereotype of the wife that's like, I don't want you to do this.
Yeah.
The thing
yeah,
we always
yeah.
talked about why Friday Night Lights, especially the series, was so good. Connie Britton was, I'm a coach's wife.
Yeah.
I'm down with football. It wasn't until the end of the series, which was a good storyline, when she's like, all right. You know, like, that's, you married an astronaut. What did you think? What's with all this space travel?
Come on, Claire Foy.
Yeah.
Like, there was a lot of talk that she'd get a Best Supporting Actress nomination, but yeah, there was a lot of enthusiasm for it, and then just as every awards thing came along, it would either get ignored or just get, you know,
well, more
nominations.
So.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that it, yeah, you're right, that's what killed the momentum, is people actually seeing it. Yeah, but I'm telling you, there's people that really, really love it, and in when it comes to the technical categories, especially considering, you know, with the exception of one other, those are the only ones it got nominated for. I think it's something to look out for. People might be bummed, but also your Bohemian Rhapsody is a really good call, because, you know, it's all about the music in that movie from beginning to end.
Music usually wins.
And
big music or something
that just has a lot of effects and action, you know. But also, this is just this is tough. This could go a lot of ways.
Because
you know, Black Panther has a ton of sound editing and mixing in it too.
I mean, honestly, for me, the will win is a coin flip between Bohemian Rhapsody and Black Panther.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's your final on mixing and editing?
I'm gonna go again. Mixing. I'm gonna go Roma. And the thing is very true. Mixing and editing almost always go hand. It's always the same film. So then I'm just going to ride Rhapsody down the train there.
Ride it down.
So I'm going to go should Roma and will Rhapsody for mixing and editing of sound. That's my call. GrahamElwood.com.
I like it. I like going full Bo Ra. And, for both, but I, you know, Roma was really interesting, and I think the only thing that's holding Roma back here is just that it's gonna, you know, kind of clean up in some other spots. What do you think, Chris?
I'm gonna go, should Black Panther for both categories because of the volume of sound editing and mixing.
It could win easily, man. If it upsets Bo Ram, I wouldn't be shocked.
And I'm going to go Will Bo Ram for, both editing and mixing.
Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, why do I put an M in there? Yeah. So, Doug, what was your final?
I'm definitely, Bohemian Rhapsody all the way on both because...
Should and will.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, Doug's going in a should will. Mm. An across the board two category should will, Doug Benson.
No, I mean, I shoulds. My shoulds are Roma.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry.
Somebody's backpedaling. Okay.
That'd be funny if your shoulds ended up being you got more right than your wills. Yeah. I don't think that happens ever. You can't be emotional about these things. Mm-hmm.
Production design, Black Panther, The Favorite, First Man, Mary Poppins Returns, Roma.
So now from this category, I think it's actually pretty strong because they all do different things. Uh-huh. Everything from period pieces to superheroes to fantasy to a weird mix of those things. Uh-huh. So I'm not sure. I mean, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking because Mary Poppins Returns was so visually kind of lush and it mixes period with fantasy, like that tends to attract the Academy a little bit. So I'm going to go should and will for Mary Poppins Returns.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Doug Benson, your should and will, please.
I'm going to go. You can't ignore the fact that The Favorite and Roma each got 10 nominations. So they both kind of in a position to have like a little
run,
wins. Yeah. And I still think that like the Academy is pretty stodgy. And so I still think a period piece is the way to go here for production design. So I'm going to say, but I mean, the production design in Roma is so flawless, and it's a period film as well.
Yes.
But I'm going to go because of all the queenly costumes and stuff. I'm going to say The Favorite will win, and for my should, I'm going to go Black Panther because I really enjoy spending time in Wakanda.
I think that's interesting. I agree with I think Roma has amazing production design. But
it's subtle at the same time somehow.
It's subtle.
It's not show-offy like castles and...
Or a fake superhero country. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like... And this is the one... This is the one... My should is Roma, but my will is Black Panther because I just think it... And honestly, I mean, I could even make Black Panther a should and a will just because its production design is so amazing.
It
did create this fictional country, and it was so vibrant. It was amazing.
A mix of technology and African culture. Yeah, is really what they did.
Yeah, it really was, and it's just everything that Marvel does right was the Black Panther movie. I mean, it really was really great. So. All right.
Turn the next one over to Doug. Best documentary short feature.
I saw them all in one sitting and had a good cry several times. A Night at the Garden is 7 minutes of black and white footage of a Nazi rally that was held in Madison Square Garden just before the World War back in like 1939. And so it's interesting, but I don't know why they would... I don't know what makes the people who found that footage... filmmakers,
right?
Because it's just watch 7 minutes of this footage,
archival footage,
that they found somewhere. I mean, so best finding of footage, if that were a category.
So there's no commentary on it. There's
just show it. They just show you several minutes of and it's not. There's an incident. Somebody that's not a Nazi, tries to run up on the stage and they beat the crap out of him. That happens. And and then there's some sort of card at the end that says this happened, even though it is weird to see Madison Square Garden full of people that are all excited to listen to a Nazi give a speech. But that being said, there's no way that could win. These other four, what does it come down to? Black Sheep is very intense movie about race. Mm-hmm. Endgame is an intense movie about hospice care. So you get to watch people that are about to die. Lifeboat is refugees coming, you know, trying to get to Europe.
From Syria.
From Syria, and just all crammed into these boats and these amazing people. Endwatch is the name of a Sea Watch is an organization that goes out and saves and collects those people. Mm-hmm. And so that's amazing to watch and a little bit uplifting knowing there's people out there trying to help these people, but also mm-hmm. it's very sad. And then Period End of Sentence is about how in India women are so shamed yeah. about their period that they don't even have proper pads. They have to shove a towel up their dress. And also not let anybody see them do it, not let anybody know they're having a period. It's such a stigmatized, terrible thing. They interview men in the movie in India, and they don't even know anything about women's periods.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. And but these women figure out, a man invents a machine, so good for him, but these women figure out that they can get the machine and start their own pad-making company. So they start making money supplying Indian women with this thing that they need mm-hmm. that no one's ever wrapped their head around until now. Mm. So that one is the most uplifting. That's the one where you go, oh, something good is happening. And, I should say the name of that.
Period, end of sentence.
Yeah, and if you go to the padproject.org, you can you can donate to help get these machines more widespread in India. So that one was my favorite. So that's my should win. And then will win. I mean, what do you guys think based on your?
I would go for me. I would go. Period. End of sentence would be my should, and I think a lifeboat will be the will.
Well, I think should, period of ended sentence, but I'm not sure about the will. I'm thinking Endgame because all of the Academy voters are nearing that place. So it might be relatable.
They're adding as much as 900 new members a year, and they're not senior citizens.
Really?
Yeah, they're going nuts with the adding people. So it's that might play into it a little less as each year goes on. I mean, clearly, you wouldn't think a bunch of old people would nominate Black Panther for Best Picture, and yet here we are. But I'm going to go will and should for period, end of sentence.
So what were you, Chris?
I'm going to go should, period, end of sentence, and will for Endgame.
It's really emotional, that Endgame movie. Mm-hmm. It's really... And it's not completely depressing. It is actually there is aspects to it that are
several of these uplifting. I know are on Netflix.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. Endgame and Period End of Sentence are both on Netflix. Mm-hmm. If it has the word "end" in it, it's on Netflix.
All right, best documentary feature.
I'm going to vote for the Mr. Rogers documentary.
Yeah,
that didn't get nominated.
I know.
I'll tell you why it didn't get nominated. In my opinion. Mr. Rogers, that's it. he's that movie is just taking advantage of how great he was and putting together a bunch of footage of him. These movies that did get nominated, with the exception of RBG, some stuff really happens,
Right.
I mean, Free Solo is just sick. Have you guys seen it?
Mm-mm.
It's this guy, that just climbs mountains without any any equipment, just using his fingers mm-hmm. and toes. And it's in IMAX. You could see it in IMAX. And it's just insane watching this guy climb. It's really amazing. I haven't seen Hell County this morning, this evening, but I hear as these things go, it's kind of odd one. I saw Mining the Gap yesterday. And it's did you guys see the skateboarding kids movie, the mid-90s? The Jonah Hill one that he directed.
No, we talked about it on the show. We had a guest on it. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really like that movie a lot, and this is like sort of a companion piece. It's like this kid started filming himself and his buddies doing skateboard tricks like from when he was like a teenager, and now, you know, he's a little older and became a filmmaker and then, you know, film them now and uses all the footage. So it's really interesting to watch you know, to basically watch these kids grow up. It's kind of like, what was that movie where it was every seven years? Boyhood.
Or
Seven Up. It's kind of like that, but like the guy making the movie didn't know that he was going to put it all together as a movie, you know, when you're shooting your friends just doing skateboarding tricks. A Fathers and Sons is like, I haven't seen it, but it's about, you know, fathers teaching their kids how to be terrorists. So that sounds super heavy. And then, you know, to me it's between Free Solo and RBG in terms of Will Win, because, you know, everyone's thinking about Ruth Bader Ginsburg right now,
right?
And how what a great woman she is.
She's in the consciousness,
but also how, you know, likely we are to lose her soon. So or maybe everybody's happy that she, you know, this last health scare was just a scare. But man, that Free Solo movie is just, and again,
it's innovative.
Another climber. The people who filmed him and directed the movie have to be climbers as well. So they're all fucking hanging on the side of the mountain with equipment.
Right.
But they're still hanging on the side of a mountain, watching a guy climb up the mountain with just his finger. It's crazy. You'd love this movie. I can't believe you guys haven't seen it.
No safety tethering, nothing. Like
Solo. I'm going to say, Free Solo is my should will, and Ruth Bader is going to be my will. My should win, sorry. I don't know what words I just said. My should win is Free Solo. My will win is Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I'm going to go should and will, RBG, for both.
See, I'm trying not to get emotional about this, because that Free Solo is a really, really intense experience. So I want it to win, but I don't know if I want to throw my will. I'm going to throw my will at it.
This could be a turning point.
I'm going to go for it. I'm going to say will and should for Free Solo.
Doug Benson goes out on a ledge.
But yeah, but just a footnote that the Academy misses the best documentaries every year.
Every year.
Right.
Every year they fuck up.
Every year.
There's like several this year that were like excellent that people thought would get nominated and then they didn't.
I mean, The Two Killings of Sam Cooke is a fantastic documentary. There's a lot of great stuff out there. Best Adapted Screenplay. The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, Black Klansman, Can You Ever Forgive Me, If Beale Street Could Talk, A Star Is Born.
Honestly, the screenplay categories this year, not the strongest.
Well,
out of the previous years.
Well, it's always a few things slipping in there.
They didn't
straight up nominate the all the movies that got a Best Picture nomination.
I would have to go I think Black Klansman is a very good movie. Can You Ever Forgive Me is very well written, very good screenplay. I liked Star Is Born, but I don't see it winning this category. I think I'm going to go.
It's also adapted, not from a book, from other films.
Yeah, it's adapted from five other versions or whatever. I think I'm going to have to go.
We changed his name from Norman to Jackson, so we did some work.
I know Beale Street Could Talk as an adapted from, a James Baldwin novel.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm going to go.
And Buster Scruggs, I just did not like. Now, a lot of people disagreed with me on the social media, but I just did not like it. And I'm a huge Coen Brothers fan.
Interesting. So what was, it had so many of it ticked so many of the boxes for them. Is it just you don't like the anthology?
I think that's the problem. It felt like I was just watching them tick boxes. So it was like, oh, here's another Coen Brothers box.
These people have to be loquacious.
Yeah.
There has to be absurd violence that just happens out of nowhere.
Yes.
It has to be very depressing at times.
There's got to be some weirdo character-y types.
And there's a couple of really engaging two-way conversations. And then, all right, check. Oh, now we're done.
Yeah. So. But boy, when the characters are really talking, like I really like the one with Zoe Kazan, as the... The Frontier Woman.
That was probably my favorite one out of all of them.
Yeah, but also just a big,
And it was,
they'd pull the rug out from under you in such a big way.
And also it felt like that was like, oh, was this where the rest of the footage went? Like it was like twice as long as the mm-hmm. other ones.
Mm-hmm. And I, you know, that's the thing is I was able to just stop that movie after each section.
Right. Yeah. You can watch them one at a time, sure.
You mm-hmm. know? And so that I like that aspect of it. But then mm-hmm. ultimately when it's all said and done, I only like the two of the stories. The one with Liam Neeson and the armless, legless guy, I found that interminable.
And it was like even a quarter way through, where is this going? Halfway through, where is this going? At the end,
yeah,
that's where it went?
And that's what I don't like about short yeah. films or anthologies is when it's all just leading up to some sort of, you know, in this case, it wasn't even a twist or a punchline. It was just sad.
Yeah.
It was just a sad statement about how people use each other.
You know, when when it's done well, it's done really well. Like, you know, you could have a great anthology format. This just didn't work for me.
Yeah. Do you think... what do you think you think Coen brothers are going to be in love with that style and keep doing that?
No, I think that was a one-off. I think that was like, well, here's the script no one else wants. Netflix will buy it and we'll make it for them. So, yeah.
Well, they have a deal with Netflix, right? I'd imagine. So there's probably going to be, you know.
I bet you
the next one's probably going to be with them too.
Yeah. I think this is one.
But it won't be an anthology. It won't be a Western anthology. I mean,
the thing with the Coen brothers is even if they do something that sort of misses, it's still always an interesting miss.
Yeah, I will say this. Like, and that's very true. Like, even though I didn't like the end product, there were still moments in that film that I liked because I'm a Coen brothers fan. And like you said, it checked the boxes. So there were still those moments for sure.
So what are you guys' picks? What are they now?
You know, I got to go with Black Klansman. I really thought should and will for sure. I thought the way that whole thing... based on a true story put together and also put like a little modern spin on it. I thought it was good all the way around.
Yeah, and it's just how long does Spike need to be making movies?
Right,
and still doing some good ones. So give him the Oscar for fuck's mm-hmm. sake is my answer. I'm going will and should on Black Klansman.
Yeah, same here. As much as I really like Can You Ever Forgive Me, and it's a movie really worth seeing. It got a very limited release. Anybody out there listening, try to check it out because I liked it a lot. But Black Klansman, and talking about it, and he adapted the material and added the modern day elements in it, which is what this category is, I think, is taking mm-hmm. material and adapting it for the screen and for the current time. So,
mm-hmm. Best original screenplay. Now, I was surprised to see Green Book in here because it's based on a true story. Because in the first reaction, like, wasn't there a Vanity Fair article about this or something? Wasn't it exist mm-hmm. in some other form? It turns out, no. It was, you know, they just found the story of these guys and it didn't exist in another medium before now.
Yeah, and the guy, mm-hmm. the guy that likes sandwiches, the Viggo Mortensen character, he co-wrote the movie, right?
I don't think so. Aaron, can you look that up?
I think he had something to do with it.
He might have been a producer, but I don't think I don't think he was one of the writers.
I mean, what was the question? The screenwriters
for Green Book.
I'm gonna go. I mean, I'll tell you right now. I'm a should and a will for Roma.
It's definitely one of the Farley brothers because he directed it. He was one of the writers, but who are the other writers? Okay. I don't know. I think this category, if you eliminate the ones that shouldn't be there, it's, you know, you're looking at a much smaller list.
Well, wait. So have you seen First Reformed?
So that one is the one I haven't seen.
Yeah, and that's the one that I've been just reading people saying that, like, it's an incredible script. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess that's why it squeaked in there without being, a big release.
I mean, I think it's a... three-way race between Roma, Green Book, and First Reformed. You know, a lot of times, too, the screenplay is one that won't win in any other category. Like, that happened with...
I mean, that's, you know, like, in the case of First Reformed, it can't win in any other category.
Right.
It's not nominated for anything else.
But I feel like sometimes it's a consolation prize for a movie that's not going to win in another category, too.
But the other side of that, though, is sometimes they'll... The one nomination is the consolation prize.
Yeah,
And they're just people are gonna go. Well, we all saw Green Book, Roma, and Vice. So, and The Favorite, like, you know what I mean? Like, those are the movies that everyone's been seeing. Everyone's been talking about. They have big press campaigns behind them.
Yeah, First Reformed does not.
No, mm-mm. I don't see it. I don't see it.
The Favorite is so fun and weird. And
I hated it.
Really?
Yeah.
Where do you stand on? Yorgos's movies in general.
I love The Lobster.
What about Killing of the Sacred Deer?
That one I didn't see.
It's a bummer. It's The Lobster without the laughs.
Wow.
A laughless lobster.
Yeah. And then, but I thought The Favorite, I just thought it was so fun the way they, you know, spoke to each other. And I thought, what's her name, Olivia Colman, was pretty amazing in that. But all of that being said, I think Green Book will win.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Doug Benson.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's just everybody likes Green Book. Mm-hmm. So all these people that don't write screenplays that get to vote, they all just had a nice time watching Green Book. You know, it was dramatic without being too in your face or upsetting. And so, but as far as I haven't seen First Reformed yet, but I, you know, I like I said, I really like The Favorite, but I'd probably go Roma for Should.
Doug's going a Roma Should and a Will Green Book. Doug Benson's official vote for original screenplay. Chris Mancini.
That's a tough one. I might go Roma Should, but I think The Favorite will.
Chris goes out on a limb. Yep.
Well, you are right that that could be the one thing that wins.
Right.
But I think it'll also get production design. What do you say, Graham?
Yeah, I'm going Roma Should will. That's my call. Chris says it's a wise limb for Mancini to go out on. I'll say that, because if Favorite is one of these movies has gotten a lot of nominations, which means it's gonna win something.
Right.
It's not gonna have a sweep. It's not gonna have a big night.
But. Right. But there's an occasional Color Purple.
Yeah.
11 nominations went home with nothing.
Yeah.
Because sometimes getting that many nominations is sort of the prize in and of itself.
So,
but there's definitely, I don't think there's going to be any huge sweeps in this one. I don't think any movie's going to win more than three or four.
No. Mm-hmm.
Makeup and hairstyling?
That's easy.
You know, that's
gotta, right?
Yeah, it's got to be Mary Queen of Scots. I mean, what else? Yeah.
Really? I was going to say Vice.
Yeah.
Because it's like anytime you
it's
have
like a Winston Churchill last year.
Yeah.
Darkest Hour.
Yeah.
You know, it's like once you transform somebody, once their performance is 80% the makeup.
You guys make some compelling points.
I mean, I love Christian Bale, and I think he's a great actor, but I think they just slapped a Dick Cheney mask on a guy, and he went,
you know,
he grunted a lot and acted like, you know,
completely
like.
Completely agree.
It was, it was a good impression. Same with Sam Rockwell. It's a good impression of Bush, but I can't go crazy for those performances.
Yeah, they were SNL sketches.
And also, but that's the point of this, of why that's what wins this category, is a beautiful A-lister made to look ugly or crazy or completely like somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and they did that through, you know, all the characters that were supposed to be real people, they did a pretty good job with, but obviously Cheney, they just really nailed that. And then it's just also a weird year because Border is a movie nobody is seeing or will see, even though I've heard it's an interesting movie. And then Mary Queen of Scots has just got kind of steamrolled by The Favorite in terms of being like, that's the
period.
That's the
gown,
period right, queen movie.
Yep.
You know? So, yeah.
The gowns and court intrigue movie?
Yeah. It's all about, I mean, I don't think, I should is a strong word for any of these. I mean, but I will say should for Vice because, I mean, they do an amazing job of making him look like Cheney.
Tyler Perry, I mean, like, he plays Colin Powell.
Yeah.
What they did with him, I mean, everyone in there is like some big A-lister that they make look exactly like
that. They
like
were able to cover the Madea wig and the Madea makeup and with Colin Powell.
It's pretty incredible.
Pretty impressive. Yeah.
Put a suit over that dress. I mean, that's amazing. Chris?
I'm going to go Should Will with Vice. You guys convinced me.
Oh, Mancini got Should Willed.
Mm-hmm.
Costume design.
Now, best this costume is
design. All the costumes are good in all these movies.
Mm-hmm. For sure. They definitely are. I think.
Ballad of Buster Scruggs, by the way, is Mary Zofri. So that's Murray Valeriano's wife. Murray, by the way, is going to be at the Oscars, obviously. So the Tuesday episode, next week's episode, Murray will be here to tell us what happened, how it went down.
Well, I will say, in all of these movies, they have a lot of costumes in them.
Yes.
Yes.
They are full of costumes. They are
costumed out.
And, you know, it's, again, it's a mix of period fantasy and, like, Black Panther. Like, even, like, The Favorite, you took the period pieces and then you took them, like, one or two steps over that. Like, you know, every gown was a little too big or had the, you know, weird colors or every wig was a little too high. Like, that was all intentional on those on that movie. But, you know, Mary Poppins Returns, again, a lot of elaborate costume designs. But I will say there's been a lot of articles in press about Black Panther and the costume designs and how everything incorporated the superhero technology and the African culture. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and go Black Panther should win, should and will.
Chris Mancini going with the should will on Black Panther. Douglas Benson, your shoulds and wills.
I'm going will the favorite because I do think the favorite's going to pick up some awards because people love it so much. And then the should is I think Black Panther should win for the reason Chris just said.
I'm going to go... I'd like to see Ballad of Scruggs win because Murray and his wife. I'd like to see them win an Oscar.
Absolutely.
So, you know,
it's not out of the question. I mean, that lady that's won a bunch of times that went up there 1 year in a credit card dress made out of credit cards.
Yeah.
I don't think she's nominated this year, but maybe she is. I was surprised that the latest Fantastic Beasts movie wasn't nominated because I think it won last year.
I'm going to go Ballad of Buster Scruggs should. And then I'm going to go Black Panther will. No, no. Uh-oh. Wait a minute.
Last minute change.
Favorite will.
Yeah.
The favorite is the everybody. They got to get a gown.
The favorite's the favorite.
Cinematography.
You can't always bet on black.
Cold War, The Favorite, Never Look Away, Roma, Star is Born, Cinematography, out of the gate, I'm going to go should will Roma.
How wild is that, that at least three, and some could argue four films for best cinematography are all foreign?
I know.
I mean, that means that the cinematographers, when they voted,
are foreign.
They are serious.
They are
They're serious about it.
Yeah.
I mean, those are amazing looking movies.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is, you know, the fact that... the blanking out his name, director of Roma,
Alfonso Cuarón.
Mm-hmm. His regular cinematographer, who's fantastic, not available, so he does it himself. Come on.
So I mean, these are all these movies look great. Even The Favorite, which I didn't like, but I can't argue that it did look really good. I got to say, should will on Roma because that. The way that was all put together and the way everything filled the frame, everything from the exposures to the contrast to everything just gelled unbelievably. I would say Roma for sure.
Yeah, I'm a should will on Roma. But just to throw this out there for people to think about, Cold War did win the American Cinematographers Society, or I should say American Society of Cinematographers, it won their award, which, you know, means that it's, you know, it's really good cinematography, but that award was just given out by cinematographers.
Right.
Mm. Actors get a vote for the Oscar.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So they get to decide what they think is the best looking, and Roma's hard to ignore.
All right, best original song.
Now. Next. I mean, do we even need to discuss it? I mean, how shallow?
It's one of those.
Would you have to be to think that anything else could possibly win? Because that's the award that Star Is Born is going to get.
Yes, for
that's
sure.
That's our chance to see Lady Gaga accept an award. Mm-hmm. I think Bradley would get to go up too. Because didn't they write the song together?
Yeah.
Or maybe he only wrote the songs that he's. Well, he sings on that one too. Mm-hmm.
If any of those things aren't true, he would still go up and get the award with her.
She'd probably go up there, Bradley, come up here. Share this with me, Bradley.
Slowly, bing, bong, bing, bing, bong. Yeah,
I mean, do you have any argument for any of the others?
No. Honestly, no. No, I wanted to see something from Mary Poppins because it's such a musically driven movie. But honestly, the songs were just mediocre in that movie. So I totally think it's going to be shallow.
And this song, I like Starborn. This song is the best part of that movie, in my opinion. Like, I like that film a lot, but that song was like
That's the emotional crux of the whole thing, for sure.
Original score, Black Panther, Black Klansman. If Beale Street could talk, Isle of Dogs, Mary Poppins.
If dogs could talk, right?
I think this is the one that Mary Poppins might get.
Ooh, interesting. Doesn't like a little Mark Shaiman? That's for sure. He's a classic.
Chris, you're really trying to strong arm Mary Poppins.
I really am, because
this.
I think it like...
just because you had to sit through it with your kids. I know. I wanted to get something.
As I feel like original score, you know, all of these are good, but, you know, Mary Poppins had the added challenge of like, well, we need to be... we need to kind of pay homage to the original and also create something new and put it up, put all of that together.
I think it should win best tribute to Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's what I felt like I was watching.
Yeah.
Is like in a Mary Poppins approximation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, the effects are better now, but nothing else has improved. It's still corny as fuck and hard for an adult to sit through.
Yeah. All of that I can see, for sure.
So you're giving this a should and a will,
I'm
Chris?
Still giving it a should and a will for best original
My girlfriend
score.
Didn't even like Mary Poppins Returns.
I can see
everyone's
point. No
offense, ladies. Okay, so... I saw Isle of Dogs more than once, but I don't think it could win best score, even though I think it's written... The score is written by that guy that wins all the time. Desplat, I think. But... Oof. I think this is a good chance. I'm going Black Panther on both.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Will and should.
I was just going to say the same thing. I think this is where Black Panther starts to kind of...
sweep the smaller awards.
Yeah, it's going to clean up some gold here in some of these categories.
Mm-hmm. It's just got such a rousing music. Everything else is like kind of moody, or in the case of Isle of Dogs, it's just constant drumming.
Yeah, you don't remember. Well, it's like Black
There is
Klansman.
A lot of drumming in Isle of Dogs.
Black
Dogs love drums.
Yeah. They love drums. They always have. Black Klansman is a really interesting movie, but again, it's that thing of you're not swept up in the music of it, where Black Panther, you are, as Doug said, you're the special effects and the music and the sound and all that stuff just kind of is part of the thing that carries you through it. Film editing. Klansman, Bo Ram, Fave, Green Book, Vice.
Now this is where I'm going against my own personal feelings. And going with what, you know, I've just been hearing from people, which makes sense, is that Vice is the most edited. It's the most...
There's the most
like,
cuts
kind of
in
choppy,
it.
Right. Cutty, lots of things going on. I think The Big Short... Got that award.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of in line to do that again. You know, everything else was just like, to me, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Green Book, great editing, great job. But like editing doesn't jump out as a thing that was great.
Yeah. No, not for anything.
Well, that's the thing that's interesting.
Which is what editing should be. It shouldn't call attention to itself.
Unless it's... so skillful that
it's stylized
or something that it stands out in that, which none of these movies have that. Usually sometimes there's like an action movie or some movie that's nonlinear or something like that, that kind of jumps out in terms of its editing, where this is just, I would go with that. Well, I mean, Bohemian Rhapsody, you could maybe make an argument. I'm going to just for shits and giggles, I'm going to go should on Rhapsody and will on Vice. Doug, you're going to should will on Vice?
Yeah. I mean, because I'm not passionate about any of them, really, in terms of the editing.
You know, I'm going to go should on Black Klansman.
Oh, Chris.
And will on Vice because I agree with Doug on that, the way it was put together.
And if it's someone that's won in the past,
right?
Then...
Point of order.
Oh. Mm. This just did. It didn't win editing. Oh, okay. Nominated for editing.
Oh,
well, so now they owe it. They owe Adam McKay a win. So, you know, your Bohemian Rhapsody is probably a good call. That'd be my second choice, but I'm going should will on Vice.
Based on the new information, I am withdrawing my will on Vice, and I'm going should will Rhapsody.
Interesting.
All right.
Best visual effects. Now I'm gonna say I'm going with Ready Player One on this, and the reason yes, and for should and will, and here's the reason: because every one of these other movies, we've seen the effects before in one way or another. We've already seen the Avengers fight a lot of things. We've already seen Winnie the Pooh. We've seen someone land on the moon. And we've seen all the Star Wars effects many, many times already. But Ready Player One did something new and different with creating a different looking world and a different looking world inside the computer. So I'm going with the should will on Ready Player
That's
One.
That's an interesting argument. Mm-hmm. I was just going to immediately go should will Avengers, but now you've given me... visual effects for thought. Yeah. Ed Benson.
I thought Ready Player One looked amazing. It's, you know, it's good that it's in that category because the effects were probably, you know, the number one thing about that movie. But I also feel like it's in there because it got nominated by effects artists, but that the winner is going to be either Avengers, if the Academy is moving me into a more of a hip area, and First Man, if they're going to remain stodgy.
Oh, wow. So you're going, you know, should?
Because a lot of old school people love that those fucking outer space effects. And the interesting thing about First Man is the way that most of the... Everything you see for the most part is from his perspective.
Yes.
So it's none of those big effect shots of like the whole galaxy. It's always just very specific.
Now, I will say that I thought the best effect shots of that movie was when he was actually walking on the moon and you saw the lunar landscape. I'm like, oh, that's really cool the way they did that. But everything leading up to that, and like you're right, from his perspective, was like, yeah, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. So you're telling – so are you saying First Man is your will and Ready Player is your should?
I'm not saying anything, Graham.
Doug Benson, I need an answer from you right now.
All right. I'm going First Man will, because old people like space. But I'm saying Ready Player One for my should, just because I did think it looked really cool.
I'm going to go Ready Player One because I like Chris Mancini's points. Is a should. It was very inventive. Avengers Infinity War is my will.
All right.
And my will be done.
This just in, gentlemen. Green Book was written by Nick Vallelonga, the character that What's-His-Nuts Viggo plays in the movie.
Okay.
All right. Finally, I'm right about something.
Jesus. With all your Vice editing Big Short lies.
Because remember in the movie also how everybody has such a hard time with Vallelonga, and that's why he like has a weird nickname, he shortens it to a nickname. Mm.
Spiky or whatever they call it.
Yeah, Spiky. speaking of Green Book, that's Best Supporting Actor. Even as much as I love Sam Elliott and Richard E. Grant, I think they're both like national treasures that deserve to win an award before they die. That Mahershala Ali, for one thing, he's a co-lead in that movie. Yeah. He's not a supporting actor.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And
too.
True Detective, everyone's loving the current season. And he's so different in that than he is in Green Book. And he was so different in Moonlight. He's an amazing actor.
He's never played a character like this in anything else that he's done.
Yeah.
Which is why he's so great in it.
Yeah.
So you're going should will.
Adam Driver is an amazing actor, but he just shows up, in my opinion, in BlacKkKlansman. He doesn't have any real heavy lifting to do.
No, he's just playing a cop and everything. He's good in it.
He does a good job, yeah.
But you're not mesmerized by it.
And Sam Rockwell does an amazing impression. And he just fucking won last year. Relax.
And he's in four scenes. Yeah. like you said, let's give it to an actor who actually did some heavy lifting on the
So you guys are all...
It's weird that Adam McKay knows... Will Ferrell and didn't use him in that part. Yeah. Shake and bake. I'm going Will should Mahershala Ali.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's an across the board should Will for Mahershala Ali. Best supporting actress.
This was, I think, the most baffling category.
This is the one that Oscar pundits are saying is the most up in the air category. Mm.
to the favorites, which is like, come on. That's the shit that bothers me. Like, all these actresses out there with all these amazing jobs and all these films, and they pick two from the same thing.
Well, also, they're not supporting. They're leads. I mean, it's their story. The supporting actress is actually Olivia Colman as the queen. So they literally reverse these nominations. So you start there. Then you go to, like, Amy Adams. Again, it's, you know, great actress, but she's playing dress up and doing an impression, same thing.
Yeah, but she's never won.
So, but I really think this is between Marina de Tavira and Regina King. I think those are the two.
I think Marina, everyone was so surprised by the nomination that it seems like it'd be hard to get that one over the finish line. Like, it was shocking enough that she got nominated. Mm-hmm.
That's the award.
Yeah.
That's the nomination. She's my should. Because I haven't seen Beale Street. Ooh. I love Regina King. She's a great actress.
She's so good in it. And she got overlooked by a lot of different organizations over award season. So that gives her a little extra juice, I think, with the Academy, because, you know, she's so good in it.
I think, though, the Academy is going to go Amy Adams.
Rachel Weisz just won the BAFTA, but that's also...
Isn't she British?
That's the thing. It's like, you know, hometown favorite. Yeah. Same with Olivia Colman. She also won over Glenn Close, and Glenn Close has won everything so far. Mm-hmm. But sticking with supporting actress, I think I'm going to go... What did I write down here before I showed up today? I'm going should and will on Regina King.
Oh, Doug Benson, yep. Should, will, Regina.
I'm going to mirror Doug's choice, should and will, Regina King.
I'm the outlier. Mm-hmm. Best actor, Bale, Cooper, Defoe,
I think Malick's got this wrapped up. I really do. I think he's going to be the favorite for sure. Like, everyone did a good job, but, you know, he really just anchored that entire movie.
Yeah, and also, like... Sure, he probably had to get in the makeup chair for a little while each day. It wasn't completely his normal face, but it was more, he had to do more, like, he had to physically embody, you know what I mean? Christian Bale just had to walk slower.
Right.
Yeah. You know, he just had to sit down slower and grunt when he stands up. Right. Whereas fucking Freddie Mercury,
right,
to recreate that life force that was well.
An iconic personality.
Like, just his body, his whole... Everything he did, he just nailed it.
And also, so you have to recreate Freddie Mercury in regular life.
Right.
But then the stage one is pretty big. Like, we only ever saw Dick Cheney sitting in an interview going, well, I like war and murder and whatever. So we're all going should will across the board on Malick.
Best actress is Yalitza Aparicio from Roma, which I was so happy to see her get the nomination, because that's one that could have easily, the Academy could have skipped because she's not a known actress, and it almost feels like a documentary watching her.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't feel like acting, but that's the genius of Alfonso and, you know, casting that particular lady. But then there's Colman, Gaga, Melissa McCarthy, who, you know, is a great actress, and she does a great job, and Can You Forgive Me? But Glenn Close just won everything. She's just left and right winning everything except for the BAFTA, which, you know, went to Olivia Colman. And Olivia Colman's a great actress. She's very good in The Lobster as well. And
I forgot she was in The Lobster.
Yeah, she's, like, funny in The Lobster, too. Mm-hmm. So I think she's, you know, she's just going to continue to be, you know, maybe she'll have to work in TV more because I don't know how many movie roles she could get, but whatever she's doing, she's going to get plenty of accolades, whereas Glenn Close has been around forever and has never won. I hated that movie, The Wife.
Oh, same here.
And so it's just fucking stupid. Like, there's so much those two would be saying to each other that we don't get to hear because of the secret, the reveal in the movie that eventually, she wrote all of his books. But, like, as a couple, they'd be discussing that all the time.
All the time.
You know, when he's like, we won the Nobel, she'd be like, yeah, I wrote all your fucking books. Like, that's what they'd say behind closed doors. They wouldn't keep the secret between themselves. You know, so the whole thing. And then just the spoiler way it ends alert. Is so convenient.
Who cares?
Right. Well, that's the thing, is it's such a non-twist, and they hint at it constantly through the whole movie. But but it's just weird when
characters, when it's revealed, you're like just bored rather than amazed.
It felt more like a filmed play, which I wouldn't be surprised. It's based on a book or a play, I think. Mm. But anyway, so that's my will win is Glenn Close. And for my should, Gosh, I'm going to go Yalitza from Roma, even though that's you know, that's not going to happen. Although, how crazy would that be? Like, the pictures and stuff would be like just some lady, some woman from the audience. We decided to just hand it to some random person. She is not, but she's also, you know, been doing all the, you know, personal appearances and stuff. And so who knows? Could be a surprise, but Glenn Close.
I'm going to go Yalitza. Because it was an amazing performance, and like you, like Doug had said, it's one of the things that really creates an amazing performance is, you know, when you're watching a celebrity, you can never forget that, like, it's Brad Pitt running from zombies. It's with this one, like Doug said, you feel like, oh yeah, this is like a doctor. This feels like I'm watching a servant in a, you know, in a middle class Mexican household. Mm-hmm. So
performance doesn't get recognized enough because it's so understated. It just seems real.
So I'm going to go but then I think Lady Gaga is going to pull it out for Will.
Oh, Chris.
You know, weirder things have happened. She hasn't won anything anywhere in all the awards season, but, you know, you can't argue with how much the Academy's always loved somebody that is a great singer and plays a dramatic role. Like, you know, Jennifer Hudson basically won for Dreamgirls just for singing that one song.
Lady Gaga is great in this movie.
And, you know, Live Nation's putting some money into, you know, the promotion.
Well, that's the thing, is there's, like, billboards everywhere. Like, the selling of Stars Born as an award winner has not worked out for them. Like, it hasn't happened. But, you know, they have to... If Gaga and Bradley Cooper go home empty-handed, they have to settle for being insanely rich international superstars.
Yeah, I know.
That's what they're stuck with.
What a tragedy.
Like, I love people, the average person sitting around going, oh, they got snubbed. It's like, well... No. Does it really matter?
They'll be all right. They'll be okay.
Selling out a 20,000 seat arena. Is that?
And I got to say, I was delighted when Bo Burnham won Best First Time Director over Bradley Cooper at the DGAs, because that's just that came out of nowhere. Everyone was shocked by that. Yeah. And that movie, Eighth Grade, is really good.
It is good. Yeah,
that should have at least gotten a screenplay nod from the Academy.
I love Melissa McCarthy. She does a great job. Lady Gaga does a great job. The wife just, and it's just the wife winning is just classic old Hollywood, you know.
I hate having to sit through a movie just because an actor gives a great performance in it, because, you know, it's still not a great movie.
No.
So it's like, yeah, Glenn Close, she's great, but that. How about give it to her for something that is also a great movie?
I'm
like
just...
Albert Nobbs.
Al Nobbs. I'm going Will with Yalitza from Roma. That's just, I want to see it. I don't care. That's what I'm going for.
Yeah, make it happen, Graham.
I'm going to just push that through. It's my will is forcing that to happen. Best director, Spike Lee, Pavo something.
Paul Palakowski.
Yagos, Alfonso, and Adam McKay.
Yeah. That's really weird that the only normal name is Adam. Not that those names are not normal, but you know what I mean. Well, this is where it gets really interesting with Best Picture and Best Director, because since they started doing preferential ballots on Best Picture, they have stopped matching up. The two don't go to the same thing anymore. And it used to always just go to the same thing. Producer and director would be from the same movie, Best Picture and Best Director. So now it's split a lot of times. And I think this could be yet another. I'm going Alfonso Cuarón for Roma as Best Director, should and will. Wait till you hear what I have to say about Best Picture.
Oh, you son of a bitch. Chris Mancini.
I'm going to go with, I think Spike's going to get an award this year. So I'm not sure which one it's going to be. It's going to be Best Picture, Best Director, but I think it's going to be Best Director. So I'm going to go, should Roma, will Spike Lee?
Chris should and Spike Lee will. I'm in the same camp. I think Roma should win because, again, I think it's the best movie of the year, hands down. I love Spike Lee. I really like Black Klansman. But I think he will win Best Director because I think Roma is going to get Best Picture as I dovetail into the final category.
Oh, dovetailing now.
Roma is my should will. I said that when I walked out of the theater, and I will take that across the finish line next Sunday.
Well, once it's won Best Foreign Film, Best Screenplay, and Best Actor, I mean Best Director, Roma will have had enough.
Oh.
And they're just going to give it to a good old-fashioned, popular American movie that years from now people will say that was not the best year movie. They'll even say it as soon as it happens. But Green Book is going to win Best Picture.
Really?
Holy shit. Now, Doug, why do you...
I say that because of what it's won so far. It's
Golden Globe?
SAG, no. Golden Globe. Yeah, won Golden Globe for Best Screenplay and what else did it win? Best Comedy or Musical. And...
it was hilarious.
Oh my God. The way the dividing up of the comedy musical thing on the Oscars, I mean, the Golden Globes is just getting ridiculous because Star is Born and Bohemian Rhapsody, neither one of them was running as a musical, I think. I think they were both in the drama category. Okay, no. So insane. Weird. Yeah. But anyway, it's been cleaning up everywhere, and especially the Producers Guild gave Green Book Best Picture, and that matches up a lot over the years.
Okay, so you're saying your should is Roma.
Oh, yeah.
And your will is Green Book. That is a bold choice. That is a bold choice, and especially since you're right, the director Best Picture have been split up since that balloting thing. It hasn't been just automatic. So,
and Best Picture, Best Supporting Actor, and Best Screenplay, that's a nice three things to give Green Book, which is, you know, it's very popular. People leave that movie feeling great about themselves and how racism is over.
Yeah, there's your white guilt is assuaged, yeah. And we rewrote the story.
Yeah, look at this white piece of shit can be nice to people of color. Why can't the rest of us?
Chris?
I think Roma... is, since it's not going to get Best Director, I think it will get Best Picture. So I'm going to go should will for Best Picture Roma.
Chris Mancini and I are banking on the Spike Lee director win to thrust Roma into Best Picture.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a total... That's a total possibility. I just think they're going to slip it to Spike for the screenplay and not for the directing.
Hmm. We'll see what happens. Only a couple days away.
We're almost there. And I'm cramming. I've got, there's only 7 nominated films that I have not seen. And I'm going to try to, I don't think I'm going to finish it by Sunday, but.
We're all going to be live tweeting it, right?
Are you? Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I have a show that night.
But I'll be manning the Comedy Film Nerds.
Oh, what are you performing? Are you performing in the lightly attended show?
I'm doing a Sunday night. I'm hoping the good people of Chicago don't care about the Oscars and come on out. But yeah, I will be.
They do not care.
Yeah. I'm going to be in Chicago the 21st through March 2nd doing all 3 different zanies. The St. Charles one, the downtown one, and the... Rosemont back to back to back, and of course the Progressive Comedy Tour next month with Ron Placone, March 10th through the 13th in the Gulf States, Lafayette, Louisiana, Oxford, Mississippi, Pensacola, Florida, and New Orleans and Texas in April. Doug, where are you going? Where can people see you?
Oh, you know, I'm running around all over the place. Got a show coming up on the 28th in Tampa. There's a new Helium in Indianapolis. Ooh. I'll be there March 23rd and 24th, I think. But all of my dates are at douglovesmovies.com.
Very cool. And my graphic novel, Long Ago and Far Away, is out at the Comedy Film Nerd store and will soon be out digitally from Starburns Press. That's Dan Harmon's company. And also, a new episode of Conversations from the Abyss just dropped about a middle schooler who's talking to an imaginary friend who may not be so imaginary. Stars Michael Carnaccia and my daughter, Isabella.
All right, guys. Go to my
hair may not be real.
Yeah.
Go to comedyfilmnerds.com for all that. DougLovesMovies.com for his dates and GrahamElwood.com for mine.
Oh, wait. One more thing. We have Doug Benson CDs. We're on closeout. At the store.
Them shits.
Yes, it's they are signed and they're only $4.99 each. Ooh. So get them while you can. There's only a few left.
All right, guys. We'll have the Oscar wrap up show next week. We'll live tweet it Sunday. Thank you again, Doug Benson.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron Brungardt, for your point of order. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember
Han shot first.
Green Book.